Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask you to help us. But we already know that that's your heart, and we just line up with it and say amen to it. Amen to that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I want to talk, first of all, just about weightier things in life. There are things that just need to be given more weight than others. And so often, it's like, you know, in your priorities of what you got to do. A lot of times we teach on, you know, four quadrants, things that are urgent but not really all that important, but they're urgent, and they take, that's usually what we spend a lot of time on. And then there's also those things that just aren't urgent but are really important that they get done. And those are the easiest ones to neglect sometimes, and yet they got to get done. So just all the time we're making decisions on and Jesus said it this way. He said, you're tithing on deal and men, but you're not taking care of the heavier things, the weightier things that need to be done in life. So first of all, I want to just say, you know, a lot of things that's really in my heart is, been talking to a lot of people this week and all the weeks, and from all over the world, it just seems like there is a great flow right now of people looking and seeking, and some are struggling, some are really struggling, and others are just saying, man, I think there's something I ought to be looking at. But I will say, you know, man, living in the kingdom that we've been talking about, walking in the kingdom, learning how to dwell there, enter there, shine there, receive things there, we all still have battles. You know, and some of my battles right now is not just physically, but other things. I use my words constantly. I'm praying constantly. I really am, because it's just wise. And then, it's like we just talked about, man, there's so much noise to be listening to right now. And I'm sorry, I get too curious. I kind of want to see what's going on in the world. It's just phenomenal. Yet at the same time, it can distract you from the real portion of life that's good. And I'm grateful we sing songs in here, kind of like the evidence is all around, and I'm so grateful you've been so faithful all the time. And at the same time, when you have expectation, you know, the old adage, you know, the bumper sticker that said, I feel so much better since I gave up hope. Because, you know, expectations, if they don't come past, then you're disappointed, whatever. So a lot of people, whether they are conscious of it or not, just start lowering their expectations in life, because they're just tired of being disappointed and having to defer. And I understand that. But at the same time, man, if you don't have expectations, the Bible actually says that he'll meet you according to your expectations. If there's not a hunger for life, that he said, those who hunger and thirst, they'll be satisfied. Not those who are just saying, I don't want to hunger because I don't want to think about it. But I'm also using, I don't know, I'm experimenting. I hope you are experimenting with life. It's a one-shot deal. Try it all. See what happens. But I'm also using my words, my cursing words. Now, I don't mean cursing words. I mean, I'm cursing. No, I'm not. This ain't come out right. I just say, I curse cancer. I curse things that are evil, that are taking people's lives out. I come against them. I think, you know, as believers, we got to speak life, but we also get to, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died from the roots up. There's things that need to be cursed right now. And don't be cursing your uncle or some, you know, somebody. That's not the kind we do. But those things that, those demonic things that are trying, you know, and taking authority over the principalities and powers. So having said all that, now I will say, man, living in the kingdom, even though we struggle, even though I'm telling you, people who don't have any knowledge of this have a lot more problems than you and I do. I mean, I'm with people that, and I tell you what, it's a blessed life to, you know, if it didn't have anything to do with our life after this, it's a great way to live. Living according to what Jesus said. It's just a better life. And I'm ministering to a lot of families right now, and there's dysfunction, the hate, the strife, the bitterness, the resentment, not knowing about forgiveness and the power of that. Man, it's a nasty life out there. I my heart breaks for people that have no hope and have nowhere, don't know who to turn to. And so I just want to say, first of all, I'm thankful I'm saved, and that I know Jesus, and I'm in the kingdom, and I'm ready to keep on running. So if we talk about life, you know, what we've got on heavier things, if from about this point, you know, to this point, say, is my earthly time down here. And then from this point all the way to Argentina is the first few millenniums in my life afterwards. I mean, you think about it, it's just logical, but it's just like, man, sometimes it's taking the time to think about that. This time on earth is really, really short. Really, really short. It is a vapor. If you live, you know, my grandfather lived 108, but it's still short. Yeah. And then you think about, what about people that, you know, die in their teens? And there's a movie out right now called Truth and Treason or something like that. And it's about a 17-year-old German boy who was brilliant and I won't tell you the whole thing, but he during the Hitler's time, he began to write letters and put them all around the country. He was studying things. He had opportunity. He just was brilliant and saw what was going on and started writing about it. And by the time he was 17, he started hand packing, and the old, you know, people were reading them and saying, "Oh my gosh, this is really what's going on." And anyway, he got caught, and they ended up beheading him to shut him up. And I thought, man, he only lived to be 17. At the same time, he's having an impact on the world today because the people watching that movie are extremely moved by it. And I just had a friend that watched it and told me, and I said, man, he's still speaking, isn't he? He's still speaking. His life is still bearing fruit, hallelujah. So as we just think about that, our short little time here, you know, you could really get focused, put a lot of weight on, you know, and forgive me if I'm trying not to be offensive, but, you know, sometimes we go, oh, that person will never get to go to prom, or that person will never get to whatever. Yeah, that's true, but I tell you, that there's all eternity down there. This isn't the part to be totally focused on. I mean, we got to live right now, but man, keep it in mind, this is a short time no matter what, and how much are you doing to prepare for all that rest of that eternity? And being with some people, it's like, man, some people have no preparation at all for that part. They're so focused on the noise right here at hand that they're missing what I think is going to be a wake-up call or a reality of down the road. So we want to live the most right now, definitely, but we want to be living it with the view in mind that we got all eternity to live out. So the Bible talks about a cup of water, that you be rewarded for that. It says that every dollar, every prayer, every swing of your sword, every spoken word, there are books that are recording everything. I shared this with one of the funerals. There are books going to be read for everybody. Everybody's going to go before the judgment seat, and there are books. Books. And in those books are written the deeds. So Matthew 12:36 is a crazy scripture. It just says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, that word careless really means every word that's kind of useless. In other words, it's, you know, when you say some words, go figure it out. Maybe bring it down and I'll try to put my coat closer. Okay, that better? Don't get distracted with the noise. But every useless word, and so a word that's useless a lot of times, just, you know, we say a lot of words that are useless, careless. I had a big debate on college about this, and everybody can debate it, but let's just read it for what it says. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account, accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's kind of salty. How would you like to have somebody walk up and start opening up the computer, and everything that you've ever done is recorded, and you're going to give an account for it? Just slay me now. I don't want to go through it. And I don't know what this will be like. There's a lot of people that have said they had a near-death experience that talked about this. It was one of the most common thing in a book we read about near-death experiences. That so many of them said that the first thing, one of the things they did when they got to heaven was Jesus and them sat down and reviewed their whole life. and reviewed all the things they did to hurt people, the things they said, the things they did. And many of them said that Jesus would weep and they would weep. But they all said there was no condemnation. It wasn't a judgment thing. It was just a reality of seeing this, you know, this is what you did. And this is the effect it had on these people. And all I can say is there are times when in college that we were told this is what you need to have done for the semester, and you need to turn in these papers. And then I remember at the end of the semester, the professor said that one time, put out the syllabus, and at the end of the semester, he said, hand in all the papers that you're supposed to. And I tell you, 80% of the class went, what? And they had no papers. And he said, well, you didn't remind us. He said, you're not in high school. And I remember just the stunning effect it had on the whole class. It just stuck with me all my life. And man, there were kids that were mad. There were kids that were crying. There were kids that were like, are you kidding me? They were just gasping and all that. And for me, I didn't worry too much about that. What I thought was, if this is this impacting right now, what's going to happen when we go before the judgment seat? It ought to put a little bit of a in you. And the good news is, again, he took all our condemnation. He took all our wrath. We will not be punished. We will not. But I do believe that my thought is we will give an account. The word account there is logos. It's like a pastor gives account of his people. It's not that I got to control you or whatever. It's just saying I'm going to give a report. But you and I, you know, I think it's worth thinking about now. Could it be that maybe I should kind of cut back on these idle words and just let my mouth run sometimes? Especially words that are critical. Especially words that can hurt. Man, I can't tell you. You know it. You got more stories than I got. But I know so many people, one I use a lot because of the one I remember. But one little boy came to sing in school. And as they were singing, the teacher just said, some kids couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. You couldn't carry a tune in a bathtub. One little state. And that person still to this day won't sing out loud. And there's thousands and millions and gazillion stories like that. Idle words, but they did have an impact. And I think on the other side, what about those words that we can speak that it gives life to people? I remember one wrestler, maybe you guys remember him, but he was wrestling a new kid, and this wrestler was a champion, and this kid he was wrestling was young and insecure, and he could have pinned him within the first 3 seconds, and he just prolonged it, but every time he had him almost in a pin, he'd whisper in his ear, you're a champion. And then he let him go, and he'd wrestle some more and get him back down, and he says, you're a champion. Nobody knew about that but that other kid. But those words were powerful. So here we got this time, here we got on earth. We want to do the weightier things, but we want to be aware that our words are powerful and that we're going to give an account for them. Romans 14:12 says this, so then each one of us will give an account for himself to God. I just say this, I can't go back and erase what I've done. I guess I've come to a point where I'm not so fearful now about giving the account. I totally respect it. I focus in on the fact that thank you, Jesus, that you're my Savior, that you died for me, that I don't have to be accounted. I won't suffer harm for that. And thank you that you have forgiven me. But I want to be aware of as I go on further that I am the light and the salt, that we do, and then not only speaking useless, careless words, but boy, even more important, may we speak the words of power that can help somebody. May we be the whisperer in somebody's ear, you're a champion. May we be that voice that says, you know, you and God will figure this out. Because we do have power in the kingdom of God. And I was just thinking, what do we do, as Jody was just sharing, to be the light of the world and have an impact in people's lives? And so I want to go to you to Isaiah 9. We were there before. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And again, this is usually in Christmas cards and that kind of thing. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." We all know that's Jesus, right? Nobody, I don't think anybody doubts that. "And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor." Boy, right there is awesome, man. You and I know the truth that we sing about the name of Jesus, but to tell people when they come to you, I've had a lot of calls. I know you get a lot of conversations just in everyday life where people say, "I just don't know what to do." And may I just say, take a little bit of a bold step and just say, you know, there's a God that loves you and he'll counsel you. Most people won't be offended by that. If they are, it's probably really going to have a lot of impact on their life. So take courage. But a whole lot of people, you may not say, "Well, I don't know where they stand." Well, it doesn't really matter. Just say, "I know this, that the God that created you will help you and guide you. He's a wonderful counselor." I've been asked by non-believers, been asked by pastors lately, "What do I do? What do I do? Am I?" And that this is where I go, man, he's a wonderful counselor. He'll counsel you. "Well, what if I can't hear him?" He'll counsel you. "Well, I just don't think it's not about you, it's about him. He'll counsel you. Trust him." How many of you, all of us have had experiences, right? Where we look back on our life and say, "Whoa, God was leading me and I didn't even know it. Man, that was a huge decision and I didn't even recognize it." And he's just doing his job. But the more we acknowledge him, the more we confess it, the more the momentum grows in that. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an eternal father. Boy, so many people have had wounds in their heart because of their parents not being fathered and mothered the way they should. But, you know, and we need to identify those things and get those things shalom healed. But on the other side, listen, if your parents are horrible and hate you and spoke evil of you till their dying day, and I've got some good testimonies down that line of people that did that, it doesn't matter because he's a good father. And he's really the real father that you got. The other one was a temporary human being. Don't weigh your things. Don't put so much weight on what people have said to you and what your parents did and all that. Put the weightier thing in the fact that you're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus and you've got a personal relationship with the Father and he's your mighty counselor and he's the one that's going to see you through. Yes, that's not saying we don't get hurt by family things, but it's like, man, but don't neglect the great salvation you have. Who came first, God or your parent? Who made you? Not your parents. I mean, trust me, these women really don't know what they're doing inside. It's a mystery. It's a wonderful mystery. Hallelujah. So we go on here. The Prince of Peace. Now, that will highlight later. Verse 7, there will be no end to the increase. Okay, what's not going to end? Increase. There will be no end to the increase. Of his government or his rulership or his leadership or his the whole system of how everything works in the kingdom of God. This ties right into the kingdom of God where there's a king and he's the dominating factor in that domain. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. Shalom. No end to the increase of his restoring you, making you whole, complete, prosperous, sound-minded, vibrant, totally alive, sound-minded. There'll be no end to that increase. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. By the way, sometimes this is what I do with righteous. Righteous, one of the best definitions, or a good definition to say, is the righteous is the way it should be. I may remember I told a story once back in high school that I had friends and they were smoking dope. And I didn't really understand that culture much at all. Didn't want to expose it, but they said, man, John, we got a pipe, you know, we got this water pipe. Man, it was righteous. And I thought, that doesn't really work for me. With my growing up, you don't call a water pipe righteous. Until I found out the word righteous means the way it should be. And what they were saying, let's give them credit, okay? What they were saying was, man, this water pipe is the way it should be. That's a good way of looking at righteous. You are righteous. You're the way you should be. How many people have ever told you, be yourself? Well, yourself in Christ, you're righteous. You're the way you should be. You know what I tell my kidneys? Be righteous. You know what I tell my knee? Be righteous. Be the way you should be. Function right. Do the job. Heart, spinal cord, be righteous. All right, I just added that in for extra. From then on, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. You know what that word zeal means? Let's put it this way. And the passion of God will bring this to pass. You ever seen somebody really passionate? Isn't it fun to see kids that are passionate? Isn't it fun to see adult business people, whatever? Just passion. No matter what, I might not be even into whatever they're into, but if I see somebody passionate, it's just a rich thing to me in life. It's just a wonderful thing to see. Compared to just apathy and poor me and a victim mentality. Somebody says, oh, I want this, I'm going to go for it. And to think that God himself has passion. He's not the old guy with a beard up there just waiting to see what everybody does and checking off the list. He's got his own passion. And his passion is that his kingdom, and remember, the kingdom is inside you. So everything we've been talking about is what's going to happen inside you. There'll be no end to the increase inside you of his guidance, his counseling, his rules that work and bring life and peace. And there'll be no end to the increase of shalom in you. And as Jody was just sharing, you know, yeah, I mean, my friend, Guy Dunnick, just posted this morning. He said, why do some people get saved and their whole life changes? I mean, they just are different people. They just radically, I think Tom, we were talking about that. Some people get saved and boom, man, you know, just so many outward things just instantly change. And then there's others that get saved and you don't see that much. And suddenly if you see people in church for years and they're still the same way they were 10 years ago. I don't know. I don't have answers. All I know is I kind of want to be the ones that see change. I want shalom today, and tomorrow I want more. I want to see the increase of peace. You know, I've got this, you know, I got things. Lord, never wanted to grow old and just talk about my things and how many doctor appointments you have and all that stuff. But that's part of the reality. But I want to see increase. I know the body is decaying, but the Bible also said, but the spirit is being renewed day by day and will quicken your body. So I'm speaking, and I'm cursing the dead things. I'm speaking life to the ones I'm believing, you know. But in checking out, like, my knee, it's like, man, there's a good chance that everything kind of points to inflammation. and inflammation. And a good thing, somehow, one of the things that really increases inflammation in your body is stress. I don't have any stress. And it's like, I look forward and go, well, I could quit everything I'm doing, I'd still have stress. I might as well keep doing this and get an increase in the shalom to restore it. There is so much available to us, but it's not automatic. If we don't believe it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't become doers, you know, even though it's a short little time here on earth. But, you know, the beautiful thing about this short little time on earth, if we put our greater weight on the eternal stuff that God has given us, not only will this life be phenomenally better, but you're also sowing into the future life that's going to make it wonderful. And every time you smile, and every time you give a hug, and every time you give a dollar, and every time you pray for someone, and every time you stretch it out there, every time you shine, every time you get in the Word, every time you do that, all that's being recorded. And when those books are going to be open, may there be just a volume of books recording all the little things that you did. For great will be the reward. It's worth thinking about. I think it's worth being passionate about. But what's really cool to me is God Himself is head over heels in love with you and wants to see the kingdom and the shalom increase in your life to the very end. If He's pumped, let's go with Him. If He's excited about it, let's go with Him. All the doomsayers and everybody else with all their bad stories, let them be noise off in the distance. And let's go with the increase. Amen? Why not? We've got a shot at it, don't we? Or shall we just sit and complain and grumble and gripe and, that's more fun. Sorry for being sarcastic, but it just fit. Thank you, Jesus, for the increase in our life. You're passionate. And we're just going to say, we're all in. You're going to have to carry us. We got nothing in this flesh. But we'll take all that you got in the spirit for us, and we're going to run with you. And thank you so much for giving us a supernaturally great life here and rewards forever in eternity. What a deal. What a deal. We're all in. Amen. I say shalom to you.